Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
God's been ministering to me about this for the last couple of weeks, and it says in Mark chapter 2, this is the story that Jesus heals a paralytic, and it says, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed, went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Lord, tonight we want to hear from you. Lord, these people did not come to hear a man, but they came to hear your voice tonight. And so, Lord, I just pray that the darkness would tremble tonight and that we would hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will and shall not follow. Lord, I pray that tonight that you would open eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would direct our steps, that we would be moved, God, with compassion in our lives. And as we receive this word, that it would not return void, but accomplish what it's meant and it's sent to do. And from this night forward, God, the places we go, the people that we're in contact with, may they see the life of God on the inside of us. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it tonight. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. All right. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, I really truly believe God put this word inside of my heart. So on a Sunday morning, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, and God just really put this, that it was for somebody at that time. And who was here two Sunday mornings ago when I shared that word of Mark chapter 2, that I truly believe this with all my heart, that in this story, the closer this man got to Jesus, healing came his way. The closer that he was from that place as he was dropped down, and the closer he got to the Lord, healing took place. And I believe that tonight, the closer you get to the Lord, depression has to cease. The closer you get to the Lord, doubt is no longer an option in your life. The closer that you get to the Lord, the mindsets and things that you've made a bed for are no longer have to stay inside that trap that you've made, put yourself into. God is bigger and better than he is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many of y'all believe that tonight? And so God's just been stirring this word on the inside of me. In fact, I told Brandy this today. You know, the word of God is like a seed. And in our backyard, we have this dry place. We have this place that it's having a hard time. And we've planted some sod there. We've now planted some seed. And it's amazing. The Bible is referenced many times in the Gospels that we see that the Word of God is like a seed, and it's alive. And I encourage you to get in the Word daily, because every day there is something that I read that jumps out to me and it becomes life. But in this story, God's just began to, and I've had to be intentional about some things, but God's begun to minister some things in my life that I see now that I'm going to share with you, that sometimes we have this happen to us all the time. In fact, the title of my message is, "Don't Die in Your Bed." Don't die in your bed. And so I've been thinking about this, and you know, all of us, the word will only work when you work it. The word only works when you work it. In fact, I get discouraged as a pastor sometime of people that's been serving God for 5, 10 years, and they're still at this place that have zero faith, and they have a hard time believing God for some things, but it's amazing. The word will work when you work it. In fact, the Bible tells us in James that we have to be doers of the word. And so I was telling Brandy today at lunch as we were sitting there, sometimes on your Facebook, it will show you back a memory of something that happened years ago. And I don't know the year that I got Facebook, but I'm sure it was in the beginning years of Facebook. And it showed me a memory of something that I said on there that was so stupid. How many of y'all have those moments where you're like, why did I say that? I was just setting myself up for failure for sure. And I guess it was during a time after the Olympics, and somebody came up, and I made some kind of gay comment. I'm not going to lie. That's what I put, was a gay comment. Well, this person that I grew up with, not thinking anything about it, she lashed out at me. And me being stupid at the time, I've learned much more since then. And I'm looking at this conversation that I'm having on the internet with this person. And how many of y'all realize, some of y'all do need to realize this, and I'm just telling you this, that you are not going to change anybody's mind on Facebook. This is brand new information. OMG. But still, we think, I have to put my 2 cents in there. And then you walk away and you say, oh, they said that. And then you have to go back. And next thing you know, you're playing this game. And I look at it, and I look at my plate where I am now. I would never say what I said. And it's not just because I'm mature, by no means. Brandy will tell you that. But I'm more mature than I was at that time. You know why? Because as I read the Word of God, rather than lashing out and hating what I said, I now love the homosexual more than I ever have in my life. And that's hard for me to say. Do I hate homosexuality? Absolutely. But here's what I'm getting at. Just like this word needs to get inside of you. And it needs to become alive to you. And the word will only work when you begin to work it inside of your life. And so tonight, as we bust this story open, I just want to share with you tonight of what God has been showing me over the last couple of days and the last couple of weeks. When Pastor asked me to preach this message or be here tonight, this is what I just started going on in my spirit from that Sunday morning of reading Mark chapter 2. Now, I could definitely talk about Capernaum and the relationship that is there, but tonight I want to look at this man being a paralytic. You know, sometimes we don't associate with Scripture because we've never been at a place where we've never been able to walk. I've never been at a place where I've never been able to walk. Maybe there's some of you in here, so you can justify that story, but sometimes we don't put ourselves in that position because we've never been at a place where we've been blind, or we've been deaf, or we've been mute, or we've never been paralytic. But I think we can dig a little bit deeper here to see that somebody that's, you know, just because Mark is sitting in this chair and he's being completely still doesn't mean that he's paralyzed. I know a little bit from going to see people in a hospital, and I also know a little bit from talking to doctors at the hospital, and know some family members that have been around somebody and prayed for people that's been paralyzed. It's not just the fact that their body doesn't move. It's the fact that their head is still trying to send a signal to their body, and their body is not responding. So as I look at this text and I see paralyzed, the first thing that comes to me is I have never been at a place before where I've been paralyzed. But then I begin to think, has there ever been a time in my life where my head is wanting to do one thing, but my body's trying to do something else? Now, how many times in our life do we do this? I make a vow. I come up to this altar, I cry, I weep, I hear a good message, and I'm pulled with conviction to get up here, and in my spirit and in my mind, I want to get things right, but when I leave and I go out on Monday into my job and around my friends, my body wants to do something completely different. So what I'm getting at is this. What I'm getting at is this paralyzed man, it's not the fact that it's a physical impalement. It's the fact that his head wants to do something that his body will not. Are you guys following me tonight? How many times do we say, you know what? I will never do that again. till the next day, till the next morning. And this paralytic, he's in a bed. Now, there's an association that I want you to see tonight, that the bed represents the man who is paralytic. So if you're somebody in here that you've said that before, where you've actually, as I brought that up, you said, you know what, you've made a decision, I'm not going to do that sin no more, or I'm going to cut that relationship off, I'm not going to do that. In your head and in your spirit, you want to do all of that, but your body is wanting to do something else. It goes back to and it lies that this person is in a bed. He wouldn't be on the bed if he was working properly. Are you following me tonight? What systems do we have in place that don't work right, but we do them anyway? Do you need something? This is one of the systems. It's not working right. Thank you, though. Now you follow me here. Sometimes we comfort things that are wrong rather than confront things that are wrong. How many times do we comfort something that's passed down from my grandpappy's pappy's pappy, and this is just the personality that's on the inside of me? How many of us do we get enslaved to a personality so much, and we make a bed and an excuse for the life that we live? How many times do we comfort something rather than what God said to confront something? Now, I begin to think about this over and over inside of my mind. When we do that, what are we doing? We're making a bed for something. We're making an excuse for something. Now, I have some examples. I try not to hit you, but I just, hey, if it comes out, I was praying in the spirit back there with Miss Bonnie, so look out. But how many times do people say, they come to an altar call and say, you know what? I was married once. He hurt me. I'll never be married again. Yes, I'm going to have a boyfriend. And at first, it's all good and it's dandy. It's fine. And in their spirit and inside their mind, they want to do the right thing. But then next thing you know, he's coming over. He's staying the night. She has a sugar daddy now. And she's at a place where they're living in complete sin. If you are not married, that is not of covenant of the Lord. You need to know that. But what do? God knows my heart. We make a bed for it. We stay at a place where we're constantly broke, but yet we won't take the wisdom and counsel of a deal like Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace, because we make a bed. My dad's dad and my mom's mom was broke, so I'm going to be broke. We make a bed for it. May I hadn't hit you tonight? Let me keep going. We're at a place, even on Facebook or wherever it is, we're argumentative. We're defensive. We fight. And we know God's trying to deal with us, but we make a bed for it because we're part Irish. Sometimes we make bed for things that we don't necessarily like, but we make an excuse and we live in it. You know what I see sometimes? I see people love the church more than the God inside the church. They like the feeling of what's in the house. They like to lift their hands. They like to worship God and show everything on the outside is working good. And in their head and in their spirit, they want to do what's right. But really, if they serve the God rather than serving the church, they would see this. That he will connect your body with your spirit, man. You know, just like that person I was telling about, they inside their mind, that person that's living with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, it's like the old song, their mind says no. But their body, don't make me sing that song tonight, says yes. Oh, you know what I'm saying. We make a bed for it. We make a bed for temper that we have. You know, there's people that you could have shared the love of Jesus with, but rather than sharing the love of Jesus with, you let your temper get out of hand because you've made a bed for your temper. How many times do we make a bed for things? Now, it's ironic in this story. Everything is present for the man. His arms are there. His legs are there. Everything is there. But he's not connected. His mind is not connected with his body. He has everything to walk, but he can't. Colossians 2:5 says this, "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Now, if I reverse that scripture, if I know that he can be absent in the body, yet in the spirit, I know that sometimes you can be in the spirit and absent in the body. Sometimes there's people that are present, but they're not connected. Are you hearing me tonight? You can be present and not connected. How many times is there moms that are present, but they're not connected? How many times is there places in the meal where the whole family is sitting there, where the dad is present? What'd you do today? You grunt at all the right times, but you're not connected. There's husbands and wives. There's marriage relationships all the time. Yes, they are present, but they're not connected. You may have a job, but it doesn't mean you're connected. It's just like if I was to charge that computer there. There's been times this computer right here that's on this stage, right here in front of the piano, there's been times where I've thought I had it connected, but the red light wasn't on, so it wasn't, and we got here, and it was empty. Everything was there to work, but it didn't work. You know why? It wasn't connected. How many of y'all know it's important to be connected? If you're not connected, you won't be respected. And there's some of you in here that you've actually told your spouse that you don't respect me. Are you connected? Listen, I'm trying to help y'all tonight. This may be a little hard. It's good at the end, I promise. Y'all stay with me here. But if you're not connected, God reminded me of this message that I preached in December. How many of y'all were here when I preached about being formed, being filled, and functioning? That's what God does. But when you're not connected, you are dysfunctional. How many of y'all know some people that are dysfunctional? I don't want to see any elbow throwing at this time. That'd be no good. There's nothing worse. I'll tell you right now, we make bed for things, but Brandy will tell you, we've been married for 13 years. There is nothing worse for me than lying in the bed. The bed is for sleeping and other things, but sleeping mostly. But you know, here's the deal. Brandy will tell you, for 13 years, never once have I been a person to just lay in bed. If I'm up, I'm going to be functioning. I'm going to do something. Even if there's snow, I'm going to be shoveling snow. We got to function. There's nothing worse than just laying there. Now, if you lay in the bed, Brandy's one of those. I'm not casting judgment. We're talking on a spiritual side right here. What I'm talking about is sometimes we just like to lie in the bed of the excuse that we make all the time. That's dysfunctional, people. That is dysfunctional. Psalm 1:3 says this, "Whatever you put your hand to shall prosper." We got to put our hands to some things. Don't sign up for stuff if you're not going to do it. Don't volunteer to sing if you ain't going to sing. Don't have a baby if you're not going to raise it. Excuses are a bed. We all make excuses. If you're going to take up space, you need to function. How many of y'all want to function tonight? This man, he's tired of laying in the bed, but this is where it gets so good. In verse 3, it says, "And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men." How many of y'all believe friends are so important? You know, for years in youth, I preached on friends all the time because I see how vital it is. We rise and we fall to the level of our friends. I used to tell kids all the time, and this is the same way for adults, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you see your friends down the road in an orange jumpsuit behind bars, you might as well get fitted for your orange jumpsuit because we rise and we fall to the level of our friends. Birds of a feather flock together. But what I want you to see is how important in this text friends are. He aligns himself with people that help him function. We need to get around people that's going to help us function and not be dysfunctional. You know, I've noticed this on Facebook, and I noticed this being around other people. People have a tendency to get around people that will be there during the crisis, but you don't need somebody that there is just there for the crisis. The crisis is important for that person to be there. But it's important that you have a friend that's not only there during the crisis, but you have a friend that's going to carry you to deliverance and a miracle in your life. You need some people that is going to lower you to the place or lower you down into the place where Jesus is and not keep you away from it. You know what I'm talking about? When you're going through a crisis and they're saying, yes, he shouldn't have said that. No, she shouldn't have been. I can't. But yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it may be a time that you need comfort from that time, but you also need that person to say, you know what? Let's scrape the dust from our knees. Let's get off of this time, and let's go to a place. God wants to elevate us from this place right here. We may have hit a wall, but we're going to climb it. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. How ironic. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. What I want you to see is this. He surrounds himself not with other paralyzed people. You know, if you hang around more paralyzed people, walking is not an option because you've never seen walking before. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you get around some people that are some walkers, I don't need companionship. I need some movement. I need some people that are going to stretch me and move me to the place that I need to go and not stay where I am. That's being a doer. He surrounds himself with walkers. We need to surround ourselves with walkers. And friends are so important. Verse 4 says, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. You know, all of us in here, and there's some of you in here right now, you are up against an obstacle. You are up against a wall. But I want to tell you right now, that obstacle could change your life. I guarantee you I'm preaching better than y'all are responding. Because this separates the men from the boys. I know a man from a boy from when he is confronted by an obstacle. If he quits, he's still a boy. A man or somebody who is faith-filled sees the wall and says, how can we climb up it? Faith is born out of obstacles. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You exercise your faith through obstacles. It's not singing and coming to church that exercises your faith. That's a good thing to do. But it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There are some things in your life that you're going to have to go up against. And you need to see yourself, that is some preacher curls that you may have to preach to yourself, and you are building up that faith, man, on the inside of you. There's some things that happen with your children or at your job or whatever it is. And if you quit, you ain't going to have the faith for the next obstacle that's going to come your way. You got to be at that place when you hit an obstacle, you say there's no turning back. You need to surround yourself with some wall climbers. Now, I want you to think about this. Put yourself in the text. They go to the door and they can't get in. And to get to the roof, somehow you're going to have to climb a wall, right? Can you imagine strapping this guy? to his bed and trying to lift him up. Now, I'm sure they were supernatural on how they did this, but I'm sure it was a rough ride getting onto the roof. I'm sure they almost dropped him a couple times, but what I'm getting at is this: the roughest moments are right before you hit breakthrough. Right before you hit breakthrough, that's going to be the roughest time. That's when she's going to say something more stupid than she's ever said before. That's when you're going to be up against something where you feel like, why am I even in this place of where I am? But God is preparing you. It may be a rough ride, but you look out because you're about to be on the roof. You got to exercise some faith. I want you to picture this. They get to the roof, finally. It's a rough ride getting up there, like, woo. And then there's a roof. Like, how are we going to rip the roof off? I don't know if they knew were roofers or what they were. I could totally say a joke right there, Jim, but I'm not going to. I honestly, can you imagine? But you know what faith is? Faith is getting to a roof and say, you know what? I can rip it off. Watch me. Even though I'm at this place where I've came so far, faith says, even though doctors have given you reports saying, you know what? It doesn't look good. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what faith does. There's no way you're going to be able to break through. With my God, all things are possible. That is ripping off the roof right there. Watch me. Stand back. If they were giver uppers, they would have saw it and said, you know what? I can't do this. But they got around the roof. There was no going back. We need to get around some people that there's no going back. I ain't going back. I ain't going to my old mindsets. I'm not going to the old bed that I used to lay in. I'm not going to my old mindsets. I'm not going to that. I need to hang around some people that I'm not going back. I'm going forward. Am I helping y'all tonight? Now, this is what I want you to see next. The closer he got to Jesus, the further he got away from his friends. You know, there's some of you, and I believe this by the Spirit of God. Before I was preparing this message tonight, I believe this by the Spirit of God. There's some of you that you're pulled all the time by somebody. You pray for them, you lay hands on them, you guide them, you direct them. The thing that you need to do is get them closer to Jesus, and there comes a time where they have to work out that deal with Jesus. Stop fretting over it. After you let them down, pull the rope back up and find somebody else to put the rope back down to. There's some of you that you are losing sleep over people that constantly call you and pull on you. I'm not telling you to give up on them, but there comes a time where they're going to have to make a choice to get close to Jesus themselves, and you have to direct them in the right direction. There's kids that you are still enabling. There's friends out there. Get them close to Jesus. In verse 5, he says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. Here's why. Jesus doesn't deal with a condition because everything up until this point, he is called the paralytic. But when Jesus sees the man, he doesn't call him by his condition. He speaks to his position in it as son. He says, son, as paralyzed as you are, and as broken as you are, and as messed up as you are, and as bad as it looks that these four people had to carry you down here, I want to tell you right now, you are still my son. And I love you, and I have a plan for your life, and it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what you've said. I'm calling you son tonight. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Quit seeing yourself of what you were, but now who you are in Christ. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's so great about it. The gospel, that is grace in its finest hour. But just what was happening here is actually happened just today. As soon as grace shows up on the scene, so does the critic. Because the critic is staying in a bed that is paralyzed. And if I'm paralyzed, I want you to be paralyzed. And there's a man running for Senate, whatever his name is. He's being blamed for something that he did so many years ago. But you know what? There's people out there that have grace. And that's what's so good news. Great news about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God has a plan for your life. Yes, is it too good to be true? Yes, it is, but it is true. That's what's so good about Jesus. That's what's so good about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how broken you've been, how deformed and messed up you've made things in your family or around the world. God wants to see you and say, son, your sins are forgiven. Maybe you're in here tonight and the critic, he showed up on the scene. You need to remember, if God be for me, who can be against me? And in being a son, this changes everything. And it should change you. You know, there's some of you that you still have a bed. You've made a bed for some things. But I'm telling you right now, if you realize the sonship of you being a son, you'd never look at that bed again. I want you to think about this. Being a son on Sunday morning shouldn't be the only time that you worship. You should worship him in spirit and in truth. Because you will wake up on a Monday morning and say, good morning, Jesus. You my daddy. And I'm your son. And by the time you get here on a Wednesday night, on a first Wednesday, you should be so ready to worship. Because all week long, you've been that son. And he's been your father. That changes everything in your life. Son. Your sins are forgiven. Don't you love that? And this is my final thing that I want you to hear tonight. Your relationship with God should change your relationship with the bed, with the mat, with the excuse. Your relationship with God should change your relationship with the bed. In verse 11, he says, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. That means anger has to leave. Don't be dysfunctional. Walk it out. Depression has to go. Doubt, shame, jealousy. Everything around you, you will see different. Get home. And if it don't change you, you know, if we preach the word every single Sunday and you go to your job every single Monday and you tell them that you were in church on Sunday morning and you still act and you still carry the bed that you've been carrying all them years, you're showing them that we serve a God that's irrelevant. But if you get rid of that bed and you begin to walk, and say, you know what, I'm going to surround myself with people that's going to climb a wall and tear off a roof. I'm a son. I'm not going to be somebody that's going to die inside the bed. But I'm going to live a life and alive in Christ. Am I helping y'all tonight?
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.